So let's jump right in and let's talk about some of these things. I'm going to start with one that's actually not in my list on the paper because I was just dealing with it this morning and I couldn't believe I didn't include it. So I'm going to include it now. Let's imagine that we have a purchase and sale agreement, okay? And it has got in there a division of pre-closing and post-closing liabilities, right? And, you know, we can talk about indemnities and there are standard ways to do that. But one thing that is almost always in there is some level, either absolute or limited, of a disclaimer, right? Of an as-is, where-is deal. If I'm representing the seller, I want my contract to say, I'm selling this property to you as-is, where-is, without any representation or warranty as to physical condition whatsoever, maybe I'll say other than is expressly set forth herein, if I am forced to give some limited knowledge-based, you know, representations. But I want this to be an as-is, where-is deal, and I don't want you to come back to me if I sell you my property based on environmental contamination that you either discovered, missed, or knew about, right? That's a pretty simple deal. Maybe we'll fight about some limited reps, but nobody is going to wildly disagree that that's the way these documents are done and supposed to be done and are intended to be done. Okay, so what happens if you get, like I got this morning, some closing documents, and at the end of the granting language, and this you can see this often in the bill of sale, often in the assignment of contracts, and again, these bills of sales and assignment of contracts are going to cover a ton of things, including potentially some environmentally sensitive permits, you name it, that we're assigning. And then at the bottom of these documents, it has a two-sentence indemnity, right? It says, assignor shall indemnify assignee against any claims, demands, expenses, you name it, accruing prior to the date of this assignment. And then maybe there'll be a one from the assignee back to the assignor for post-closing liabilities. That sounds great, right? Except that we spent a bunch of time and a ton of money in the body of the contract setting forth in great detail, okay, in great detail, how that liability is going to be split. And in my contract that I looked at this morning, we had managed to have no liability going forward under any environmental claim or environmental law. We had disclaimed and the buyer had waived all of that, right? So I'm looking at this language and I'm thinking, well, nobody's ever going to see all this great language in my unrecorded purchase agreement, but people are going to see this. And this is a very simple indemnity that could, if I don't change it, eliminate all the protections that I had negotiated in my purchase agreement. Now, was that an intention? Was that the intention of the other side to eviscerate our detailed and very, you know, heavily negotiated indemnity and disclaimer provisions? No, I don't think so. It was just in the form that somebody got from somewhere and they prepared the documents and they sent it out. And so I got on the phone and I called. And I said, look, man, we can't do this. We really need to delete all of these indemnities because the indemnities are already covered somewhere else. But, you know, again, if you really want us to put them in there, maybe the most we could do is incorporate by reference what's in the purchase agreement. So there's one example of a document that had we not looked at it and we not thought about it, it could have, not could have, in my opinion, it would have changed very important provisions of our deal, right? So there's one example. Let me give you another one that comes up quite a bit in deals. It comes up more than it doesn't, as a matter of fact, and that is terms that are set forth in the title company's owner's affidavit, right? We know in Texas, when we close a real estate sale, there's going to be an owner's affidavit, or sometimes called an affidavit of debts and liens. That's fine, right? I'm good with that. But again, remember, in my purchase agreement and in your purchase agreement, we've allocated all these liabilities and we've made some reps, undoubtedly, if I'm the seller, you know, we'll make some reps. Now, these representations are going to be limited. Many of them are going to be to the seller's knowledge, defined a certain way, because I'm not talking about this topic today, but if you just say to seller's knowledge, I don't know what that means, but it certainly means more than what's in your head. So we've got a definition of seller's knowledge. It works great. Then you get a standard printed document, not tailored to any particular transaction, from the title company, where they want the seller to tell them a whole bunch of things. You know, are there any unpaid bills for materials? You know, there are going to be a bunch of reps in there, and some of them are going to be absolute, which may be inconsistent with what I've agreed to do in the purchase agreement. And you're going to have an indemnity in there. And title companies are different, and some of them have relatively innocuous owner's affidavits, but some of them, quite a few of them, none of our friends here with us today, I'm sure, do this, but a lot of title companies do. There'll be a statement that where, in effect, the seller is saying, this is everything that's out there with respect to the property. There's nothing else, and I will indemnify, defend, and hold harmless the title company. And occasionally it will say, and the purchaser.